From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. It was a cold morning in February when mom Alexis Cooley woke up to find her newborn baby, Onyx, wasn't breathing. He was pronounced dead a short while later at the Eastern Idaho Regional Medical Center. His parents wanted to know why Onyx, who seemed to be a healthy baby, had died suddenly in the night. Yet the Bonneville County coroner did not order an autopsy. Audrey Dutton is the Idaho-based reporter for ProPublica in the Northwest, and she did a deep dive into this case and into Idaho's coroner system. She found that Idaho coroners are elected to office, but they do not have to have any medical or legal background, and they have very few rules that they have to follow in our state when it comes to investigating deaths like this. And she found that how coroners respond to cases varies widely from county to county here in Idaho. Audrey's here to tell us more about that. Audrey, it's always nice to have you on the program.
Thanks so much for having me here.
Okay, so Audrey, I want to start with the case that I just mentioned that sparked your investigation. So this happened in Bonneville County, correct? So for folks who may not be familiar, Eastern Idaho, Idaho Falls area.
That's right. That's where the baby was pronounced dead. At the time, Alexis Cooley lived with Onyx in her parents' house in Shelley, which is in neighboring Bingham County.
So when the baby passed away, as you said, baby's pronounced dead at Eastern Idaho Regional Medical Center in Idaho Falls. What did the doctors list as the cause of death for baby Onyx?
So the doctor, the ER physician who received Onyx, he was dead on arrival in the hospital, decided that it was SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. And one of the really important things to know about SIDS, as it's referred to, is that it's a diagnosis of exclusion. You have to rule out everything else. And it's not a syndrome per se. And so experts say, you know, don't use SIDS in general. Figure out what caused the death. So national guidelines that we explore in the story have various steps that one should take when investigating the cause of death for an infant who's otherwise seemingly healthy. And those steps include an autopsy. They include going out to the scene where the baby was found and doing a reenactment with the person who last saw the baby put down in, usually in bed or in a crib, and then doing a reenactment of how they found that baby. That can help figure out whether baby may have rolled or been suffocated or something like that may have happened. And the autopsies are important for various reasons, but one of the big reasons is it can pick up undetected disorders, such as genetic issues that might run in the family. And so if you've got a baby who suddenly dies, if you can figure out what happened, you can potentially prevent other children in the family from suffering the same fate.
Mm-hmm. And Audrey, you and I are both moms. And I think that this is one of the biggest fears that any new parent has, is something happening to your baby like this that you can't control. So I cannot imagine what this family was going through when they then find out that there's not an autopsy going to be done on the baby. So take us through that. And the fact that all of these national guidelines that you just pointed out seem to have basically been ignored in this case.
Right. So the parents went to the hospital right behind the ambulance. That morning is a blur, but it's also seared into their memories. So they were able to remember a lot of what happened. And then I also used 911 call recording, photos, documents, medical records, the coroner's report, which was just one page and only a couple of sentences, I was able to kind of piece together what happened that morning and what kind of information they were given, and then also what questions they were asked. And they, I think, understandably, were trying to survive the worst thing that had happened in their lives that day. And so when I asked them, what did you hear from the doctor? What did you hear from the coroner? They said, "We never heard from the coroner. We were asked a lot of questions by detectives, but we didn't get a lot of answers, and we didn't really have the opportunity to ask a lot of questions either." They all tell you, I don't think that they were aware of what the national guidelines were, or that an autopsy should have been done before I approached them. And they have, they have two other young sons. They're in their early 20s. They had a lot going on. And so I think you're right in that this is a parent's worst nightmare. And they left the hospital after being there all day. They got there about 6:45 in the morning, and they left about 6 p.m. They held their baby that day. They were told that the coroner may call to do a reenactment with them. They may get questions, but they never heard from the coroner after that. They didn't hear from
Audrey,
anyone.
are autopsies required on babies who die in Idaho?
There's no requirement for autopsies, period, in Idaho. There's no
Okay, so.
requirement that a coroner follow any national guidelines. So, no, it's just up to the coroner's discretion.
And you did talk to Bonneville County Coroner Rick Taylor. Why did he not order an autopsy?
He told me that he did what he called, quote, a paperwork autopsy. He talked with the doctor, the ER doctor. He talked with detectives. He looked at the baby's medical records and decided that that was enough.
Okay, so here is the part that I'm a little flummoxed by, is that Onyx was born with a couple of issues, right? I mean, he had a cleft palate. His mom says that he couldn't breastfeed, so they had to get a special bottle for him. They went down to Salt Lake quite a few times for medical procedures, and they were told what to, I mean, to kind of elevate him a bit to an angle so like he wouldn't spit up, and so. Did the coroner know all of this information about the baby?
I don't know. I don't know.
So,
The on his coroner report, his information gathering sheet, I guess is what you would call it. It did note a cleft palate. It noted when he was last seen alive, when he died. But I don't know what else he knew.
And you did find out in your investigation that a lot of Idaho counties, and Bonneville would be one of them. They actually don't do their own autopsies. So why is that? And then who does them?
Great question, and we'll be exploring a little bit more about the logistics there and the hurdles that coroners have. East Idaho does not have a forensic facility. The Ada County Coroner's Office does autopsies for the majority of Idaho's counties, and then in North Idaho, they're sent over to Spokane. So there's not a forensic pathologist who is employed in a medical examiner capacity in East Idaho. So all of the bodies need to be driven over to Ada County.
And that is, I would assume part of that reason is, Audrey, is that, as I mentioned in the introduction of this, in Idaho, you don't have to be a coroner to be elected coroner. You don't have to have any medical experience at all.
That's right. Yeah. So most of our coroners in Idaho are first responders, law enforcement, EMTs, or funeral directors, morticians. But there are coroners who ran a grocery store or do various different jobs. There are people who are retired. It just kind of runs the gamut.
And let's go back to this this last topic of certain counties not doing their own autopsies. So The Ada County coroner, according to your investigation, had threatened to stop performing autopsies for Bonneville County. Why?
According to the letter that we obtained, and this was a month before Onyx died, interestingly, the Ada County coroner's office had said, look, we can't keep doing autopsies for you. You'll hear this a lot in this world. You're the eyes and ears for us and nose, going out to death scenes. You need to be able to tell us how you found the body. You need to take certain pictures because Ada County's forensic pathologists are standing at an autopsy table in Ada County. They're not out in the field. They're not the ones talking to the families. They're not the ones gathering the evidence, looking at the temperature in the home, all kinds of different things. So they need that information. And what the Ada County Coroner's Office told Bonneville County was, we're not getting that information from you.
So you also, during your investigation, talked with the Bingham County Coroner. And just geographically, for folks who may not be familiar, Bonneville and Bingham County butt up to each other. Shelley's actually fairly close to the Bingham County line. So this coroner, the coroner in Bingham County, who you spoke with, had a different approach to these kinds of cases, like the case of Onyx. So did he think that this case should have been handled differently?
Yes. And interestingly, the detectives who responded to this case were from Bingham County. They went to the hospital in Bonneville County, but they were from Bingham County. So they were familiar with the Bingham County coroner's name's Jimmy Roberts. And they reached out to him when they found out that the Bonneville County coroner was not planning on coming out to the hospital or doing an autopsy. And they said, hey, can you change his mind, basically?
Wow.
And I've looked at this point more than 250, maybe more than 300 different coroner reports for child deaths in Idaho. And it's shocking how different they are from county to county. We'll be exploring that in future stories. But Bingham County versus Bonneville County is an interesting juxtaposition. And I think that's what Onyx's case really illustrates, is there's no consistency there. Jimmy Roberts' death investigations did follow national standards.
Okay, so with that said, talk a little bit more about that, Audrey, because here's what I find interesting. Bingham County is a smaller county than Bonneville. I mean, but Bonneville has the main hospital over there, Eastern Idaho Regional Medical Center. It is the largest medical facility. So it would make sense that that is where someone goes in an emergency situation. So then if you pass away in Bonneville County, then I would assume that the Bonneville coroner is then in charge of these deaths, even though right next door is a smaller county where the coroner is following national standards, as you said.
Right. And we talk a lot in Idaho about resources and lack of funding and things like that. And those are absolutely hindrances to doing things right, doing things according to national standards. One of the interesting things, though, is that Bingham County, the budget's smaller. As you said, it's a smaller county. Bonneville County's coroner is paid more than $95,000 a year, and you just see a total. It was a very, very different way of handling these cases. But you know, one of the challenges they both have is that they have to drive 4 to 5 hours, depending. Each way to get an autopsy done. They have to either do it themselves or they have to hire someone to make that trip every time there's a death that needs to be autopsied. So that's one of the real hindrances, whether you're a rural or urban county in Eastern Idaho.
And Idaho's legislative oversight body, the Office of Performance Evaluations, did take a look at Idaho's coroner system. So what did it find?
It found that Idaho has the lowest rate of autopsies in the types of deaths of children where you would expect a coroner would be in charge, is the easiest way to put it. Where there's not like an obvious medical cause, they're not under care for leukemia or something like that. And our rate is well below the national average. And the OPE report found a lot of other systemic issues with Idaho's coroner system as well. But that was one of the big pieces that we looked at. And we went in and did a similar data analysis, found the same result. And also, interestingly, in the case of SIDS, as a diagnosis on a death certificate, Idaho tied for lowest rate of autopsies. Again, SIDS is not supposed to be on a death certificate unless all other causes have been ruled out. So you
So
should
I
be
know.
seeing these in all of those.
So I know you mentioned money, right? And that is an issue in a lot of places. And as you said, some of these small counties don't have a lot of cash. They often can't afford to pay their coroners that much. The Bonneville County coroners, you said, though, makes about $95,000 a year. But how much does money, I guess, play into this, Audrey, versus the fact that some coroners don't have the medical background to actually even perform an autopsy?
So I think the money plays into it. I think it sort of is a self-feeding problem. If you don't have enough money to do the job right, you're going to have to cut corners. It's just you can't if you can't do the job right because you don't have the resources, what are you going to do, right? But I think one of the really big issues, and this came up in the OPE report too, and will be gone in will be going into it in depth in future stories, is the fact that Idaho pays some of these counties pay so little to the coroner that the coroner has to have another job. Like, you can't support a family on the money that they're paid. So what do you do when your other job is full time and you have to be responding at all hours on holidays, on weekends, to deaths when they happen and when they're discovered? Are you going are you getting what you paid for essentially when you aren't paying very much? And that's a much bigger question than I can answer about, how much of it is money and how much of it is desire to do things right. But it definitely plays a factor.
So Audrey, I'm curious, since this article was published, what has been, if any, feedback to you and your organization from lawmakers, from coroners in our state? I'm just curious if anyone has reached out and said anything to you.
That's a great question. I have heard from many members of our community. I've heard from this morning, I heard from a medical legal death investigation child death expert from New York State. I have not heard anything from lawmakers. I've sent this story to legislators and some coroners and the governor's office, and I haven't heard back yet. I'm interested in what they think about this story and about this issue. We know that it's on the minds of the legislature because of the Office of Performance Evaluations study that was requested, and there's been a lot of engagement on this topic from the Legislative Oversight Committee, from JLOC in the legislature. They were shocked by the findings of OPE, but I'll tell you that when OPE, when Casey Petty, the evaluator who did that did that report, went into a child death review committee meeting, and explained what they had found, none of the people who were on the child death review team were surprised. They were like, "Yeah, we've been saying this for years."
Oh my goodness.
So it's something that people are very aware of.
Well, and what sticks out to me, Audrey, is how you've said not just these national standards, but that SIDS should not be on a death certificate until every other potential option is exhausted. And going back to something that you said in the beginning of our conversation is, what if these babies, like Onyx, which we don't know, had a medical condition, had a genetic condition, right? And if this family decides to have more children or they already have children? What if another child of theirs would have this similar condition, right? That's why we have national standards. That is why you should be doing autopsies on infants that die suddenly, because there are many cases where it is found that it wasn't SIDS, that there was an underlying issue that no one knew about.
Right. And when we talk about crib death, and we talk about back to sleep, safe sleeping guidelines,
mm-hmm.
those guidelines exist because people looked at what the circumstances were when a baby died. They looked at how the baby was sleeping. That's why reenactments are really important. Showing how the baby was put down and how the baby was found. That's how it was discovered that putting a baby to bed in an empty crib with a firm mm-hmm. mattress, no blankets, no stuffed animals on their back, that can save their life. So it's a public health issue as well as just, you know, an individual family issue and just a matter of getting answers for the parents. I mean, grief is an awful thing to go through, and I can't imagine how hard it has been for these parents with this particular death, but also not having answers and being confused about everything that's going on. That, you know, that's what they talked to me about. They were like, we want to keep other parents from having to deal with the same kind of confusion and lack of answers that we have.
Mm-hmm. So, Audrey, I'm assuming there is no way to ever find out how baby Onyx died.
That's my assumption, too. He was cremated. I don't know. I'm not an expert in this. I certainly have wondered what it could have been. Alexis told me she tries not to ask the what if questions because it just she'll beat herself up. And, you know, so, and any answer, she said, you know, it's not going to bring Onyx back finding out what happened. But, you know, there are multiple different factors that could have been at play here, and we just don't know. And there's no way of getting that time back, that day where some of the questions could have mm-hmm. potentially been answered through evidence gathering.
And again, though, as I think Alexa said to you, is she doesn't want this to happen to another family. And
right.
So just the fact of you know, you writing the story, Audrey, right? You uncovering this, at least the general public will now know what is going on here in our state.
Right. Yeah. She and Diamond both hope for their story to help prompt some kind of reform to keep this from being what is it's not quite common because it's rare for babies to die suddenly, but mm-hmm. I found multiple cases where in Idaho where babies died and national guidelines were not followed just mm-hmm. in a few year period. So it happens, and it happens multiple times. And we know through the autopsy rates that, you know, fewer than half of cases in Idaho where the child dies suddenly and unexpectedly and for not a medical reason do they get autopsies. And just kind of coming back to Onyx and what his parents hope for, Alexis said that she feels like this story has given her baby a voice and she hopes it's heard loud.
And I know, Audrey, you are going to continue to be investigating and continue to be writing stories about this.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we really appreciate your time. Audrey, thank you for bringing this to light to so many of us. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
We've been speaking with Audrey Dutton. She is the Idaho-based reporter for ProPublica in the Northwest, talking about her investigation into Idaho's coroner system. We will make sure that we put more information on her story on our website, BoiseStatePublicRadio.org. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudet. We'll see you tomorrow.
No matter what happens in Washington, the NPR Politics Podcast is here for you. For the latest news, insights, and analysis from the election and beyond, listen to the NPR Politics Podcast.